We have a human presence, but we have a spiritual influence. And so isn't it wonderful that no matter what the presence is, and no matter what life that might be being expressed, there's a spirit that actually is the head of it. Ever think about that? Because what God does is He gives life. He gives life to whoever and whatever and whenever He wants to. And the thing of it is, when He gives something, God never takes it away. He never takes away life. He never takes it away. Sometimes it doesn't develop for many, many, many different reasons, and we can't explain why necessarily, and we don't need to. But we must realize that God, He's always procreating. He's always creating more. And in the midst of it, sometimes the old dies. It disappears. And the reason for that is it's no longer necessary. But what humanity wants to do that doesn't know God is they want to try to preserve the old that no longer is effective. They like it. You know, I do like my old cars. You know, I'll go down to Florida. We see some of the best old cars I've seen. Studebakers. I've seen cars that I have never seen. Well restored. They and affordable to me, yet maybe not to a lot of people, but yet they're I wouldn't want them to have to rely on today. Something to look at as a past, but the present, these cars are far, far greater than the old. And but many, many times people want to live in the past. And as they do, they die with the past. That simple. Life continues to progress and it keeps moving on. And so when it's no longer necessary, it usually loses its life fragrance. And when that happens, it doesn't reproduce again. But it makes room for the new. Are you listening to the Word of God? Please make room for the new. Hallelujah. Experience God today as He's alive today in your life. And accept the changes that are required to live today in a full measure. We're going to talk about some of that today and relate it to, as simple as I can. Yet it is not always not complicated, but it's still very simple, and complication soon disappears when application is brought forth. As long as you're setting out looking at something, you'll never know what it really is. It's only when you begin to partake of a thing that you now become acquainted enough to open yourself up so that now it can be a part of who you are. And that's where God wants us today. We're in a new day and a new hour. We're challenged with new challenges, and the church is challenged with growth, and I'm still saying, ask people to come. When you see somebody on the street and you get a good conversation going and they don't have a church to go to, tell them to come. Tell them to come to church. You know what we've thought? We thought the word was so extreme that you had to have a doctorate's degree to understand it. But the truth is, it's so simple that a little baby can understand it if it's applied in a proper manner. So praise the Lord. We do have a... we're going to pray over the offering, and I do have a word for you this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're still looking. And I'm excited. Are you excited about the things of God, or are you satisfied with where you are? How many are satisfied with where they are? Are you satisfied with where you are? Not wrong for a yes answer, by the way. But do you want to go on? Do you want to experience more? Do you want to see more? Do you want to experience more from the Lord? I think that many times we get people saved, and I was thinking that we try to be diligent to make sure that you have had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have had the understanding, and you've asked the Lord Jesus in your heart and to be your Savior, and you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins. Because without that, you are lost as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. And you're still buried in your own sins and your own transgressions. But He died that we might be freed. Mackenzie, you want to pull up the same one as you did last week? We'll be on the last slide. And in doing so, God begins to unveil us, when we sang some songs that were pretty pertinent to the message, in that there's an operation that takes place in redemption, salvation, forgiveness. And these are part of what we believe as Christians. And as Christians, I hear too many that still... they actually want to be a Christian, but they still want their pound of flesh. Meaning that they think that if it was left up to them, they could make a difference by some kind of a physical demonstration of force. But the truth is, that's fleshly. No matter how technical it is. That God has placed within the vessel since the resurrection, He's placed within or at disposal to you an indwelling Spirit that gives you a righteous manner of life. A right manner of living. How many wouldn't want that? Well, it depends on where we're going with it, right? It always does. We're all honest, right? We all know that we're not yet perfect, nor do we all want to yet be perfect sometimes. And the reason for that is we haven't been willing to give that up yet. And as long as you're not willing to give it up, you'll still stay in your transgressions and your sins. And just in that area, please. There's so much that I'm not going to go into that, just to explain it, but as you study the Bible, you should know. I shouldn't have to explain every little detail, and I'm not going to. But there are many sins that aren't unto death. not eternal death. And so I pray that everyone has had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus. But, you know, he's challenging us to go, now what do I do? Now that I have the redemption working in me, now that I have forgiveness working in me, what do I do now? What's my function in the kingdom? Well, I'm going to live the way I want to and kind of be comfortable and live the best I can, because that sounds good to me. But what if I told you that you were free to do all things, but that wasn't one of them? What if I told you that you no longer was running your life? Jim knows where I'm going. He's smiling like crazy. This is a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because we still like to have that dominion. And the problem with that is not really a problem. It's how God created us. But when we come to that point, we now step aside and actually step out of who purchased us. And we step into being the purchaser. Don't get quiet now, because I'm preaching real good now. Hallelujah. It is finished. How many know that? Everybody say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Okay. Now, he wants to finish us. In him. And so, as long as you look at God as being unapproachable in any area of your life, the veil's still up. Only in that area. So you see, so I'm trying to get it to where you can really, really, really open up, live your life before him without guilt, without shame, without, hypocrisy, because, you know, that's one thing that has always been in the church, the hypocrite. But outside the church, there's no hypocrites. No, we got other names for them. Same thing. Tell you one thing and do another. Put up a picture of one thing and do another. It's my desire to see that everyone that listens to me believes me to the point that they become a son and a daughter of God. And continually are becoming a son and a daughter of God. But first and foremost, knowing that they are the sons of God. And that they no longer have the last say in anything they do. But that their life is in orderly fashion before God to change as he instructs you to change. Because just as He is a finished work, and He has given us a finished product of humanity, Spirit-filled humanity, you will become finished to the utmost as you are continually changing your focus and sometimes changing everything about you. Changing all of your icons of pride and status. Koma sata kalama mahase. Ito kole biyana makaba hasianda kolo boshianda. Too long have we held on to things that are not, that are of a lesser order, no matter how glorious they might be, that cannot produce eternal life. Never has and never will. Listen to this. In Luke, the 21st chapter, we're not going to go there right now. But you can look at it. You might get a little scared when you read it, because you're reading the front page. But He doesn't want you to be scared. He wants you to know who you are. He don't want you not to understand. He wants you to understand fully. He said, no one will know the day, but I'll tell you what. He tells us enough about when the what day we're in. Why would you not live in that kind of a rapport? Why won't you live in that kind of a comfort of, yes, I can be intelligent enough to know where we are? You can. In the scope of eternity. Because you're God's kids. And because He has established us in His righteousness. And so believe me, what works for you today will not work for you tomorrow. Because tomorrow we'll have a different challenge and you'll be subject to change. When He says, when He comes, He comes with 10,000s of His saints, and you will now bodily, physically, house the Christ. And it will be His building properties, our humanity. What kind of humanity? Humanity that is no more subject unto death. A humanity that's incorruptible. It cannot be defiled. And it has now come into the same position or the same placement that God created them from the very beginning. To be seated, now listen to this, please don't misunderstand me by misinterpreting me with insinuendos. For the same purpose that He created us, that we might be like Him and be seated with Him in heavenly places. And when He was talking about that in Ephesians, the second chapter, He was not talking about that just only after you physically die. But you know what? We have a struggle just staying alive. We have a struggle with a life mentality, living in the earth in which we live. How many's got aches and pains? Now, I say this. Mackenzie, do you have aches and pains when you start running? Are you getting this? I just want to encourage you in such a way that you will not be denied the promises that He's given us. I better get on page here so I can keep moving. You're just kind of hearing my heart, and I want you to understand that I'm for you, 100%. I am for you. I want you to understand that. Come on, boot up for me. There we go. Gotcha. Keeps changing a little bit all the time. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 6. And I know we were here last week, but this is kind of an important subject because it actually helps us to understand what death He's talking about here, and then also what kind of a life He's talking about here in a resurrected life. And no, honey, go back to the slide. I don't want one because we've been there, and we don't want. And I kind of want to go to 6 and 8, and I just want to give you a little bit of understanding here, pertaining to some of this, a little bit more, so that we can. I just want you to be comfortable. I don't want to shake you up, but usually, my words have a voice of responsibility, and sadly enough to say, many people don't want to be responsible. I'd like to say that you're not responsible for your actions, but the truth of the matter is, no matter what you say, no matter what kind of an excuse you give, you are who you are. And if, as we take on that responsibility and just live comfortable. I want you to live comfortable, but I want you to know that God is in the process of changing you from glory to glory. But the process comes only as you yield yourself. Not me yield you. Not me trying to tell you every little step that you have to take. So then you take every little step, but you take it in the way that you always did before, and nothing ever happens. And so your blame is still on somebody else. You're still blaming somebody else. It's still somebody else's responsibility why you are like you are. It's not true. Not true at all. Well, Danny, you don't. Oh, yes, I do. I'm going on 70. I tell you what, I've been around a little bit. I've been in a lot of different situations with a lot of different people. And I'll tell you what, and I've heard a lot of different stories. And it's always somebody else's fault why I'm here. But the truth of the matter is, we are where we are, and it doesn't necessarily have to be anybody else's fault. But we have a God that is able to take us out of where we are in this dilemma that we're in and bring us into a promise where this dilemma has a remedy. Amen. You know, how many like what Obama's trying to take credit for catching two kids? I don't know how come he didn't get killed. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. He was two blocks out of the zone and he stayed there. None of that makes sense when he was by a body of water that could have got him anyplace. You know what the answer is for fear in this country? Is a very answer that overcame it in the turn of the century. Where neighbors love their neighbor. Where people told one another the truth. Where when you did business, you didn't need a legal document of manipulated words to steal from you that which was already yours. It was by word of mouth, in a handshake, an integrity that had a God-given instruction that I will do what I said I will do, and I will put my life on it. I got to tell you, as much as they want to try to promote terrorism in this country, you still got people that aren't afraid to go into a war zone and grab out innocent people. And no, Obama, he wasn't doing that. Or any other state official or government official, hardly. Just a neighbor. Comanda salara cabiero. Now that isn't human nature. Human nature is to save their self. Human nature is to bring stuff onto their self. But a God nature, I got to tell you, it's in the country. Glory to God. Please understand me. Glory to God. But there is a people that's going to come to a place where they're so denied of the self that would try to demand something out of them that they're not. And an indwelling spirit that speaks so loud and so clear that righteousness rules and reigns in the face of death itself. You ought to read the 21st chapter of Luke and just become acquainted with some of that. Without fear. Hallelujah. And so now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now, did it say Jesus there? You're going to find out that nouns mean something, don't they, Nancy? See, now I can refer to her, please, because she's a degree girl in speech and stuff of that nature. I'm not. But yet God's made me pretty clear on many things. But I still like to make sure with you guys, you see. If you look for a fault in me, you'll find one. But if you listen closely, you may find out that maybe I just didn't say it the way that you would say it. You see, it doesn't form around us. You know, I was asking, what was that word that we had that really bugs me? Because you got rules and language, and then every now and then they break them just because they want to. And the thing is, if you don't know that rule, you've been doing real good on your pronunciation, and that then they come up with this silly rule that it doesn't equate to this particular word. I said, what is that? And many times it's God's moving us forward, and as God's taking us in different areas, hallelujah, there are times when He may speak to you in a way that you can't really talk to anybody because He's working it out in you first. Because you're open, because you're at a point where He wants to touch you and bring you in another dimension of His righteousness. Let's do another one. And the Christ is always the anointed. It comes from the Hebrew word. It's always His anointed. Hallelujah. It's never His anointing. It's His anointed. It's His ones who are anointed. It's on a property of humanity. Not something else.
knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. When Jesus came out of the grave, he didn't just come out of the grave as a suke man or a flesh man. But he actually brought, and I know, and please, if you don't understand, study and see. I know what I'm talking about. He also brought the spirit man out. See, we don't even talk about things like this, Nancy. You know why? Because they don't even think that that's very, very necessary. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a lot of spirit men that were raised up because what the Lord did is he took back all of man when he died. He took back the soul. That's a yusuke man, your mind, will, and emotion. That's actually the very motor vehicle for all of your body. And it keeps the body, and it gives the body life. And that's why understanding, and that's why we preach these things, so that you might give yourself, your body, some understanding. Hallelujah. But it also does another thing. It gives your spirit illumination, or life itself. It begins to bring forth imagination. It begins to bring forth instruction. It begins to bring forth these properties of intelligence that steps us into a different world. Totally. Hallelujah. So he was talking about his spirit now. His spirit now. Jesus don't live inside of us as a man. But he can live inside of us as his spirit indwells us. And as we, and how the veil is rent in us is when we're not looking with the physical mind of man and man's understanding only, but when we're looking at it through a spiritual mind. And guess what? Spiritual spirits live in men and women too. And so those things that are alive and those things that are properties that construct and bring forth new ideas and new life and new dimensions of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're just being unlocked. Hallelujah. As we're beginning to be God's children and beginning to know what to do with what God has given us. And guess what? Many times the revelators, they pass on. Because it takes more than just seeing to see something fully accomplished in a human race. It takes a collection of mobility, of intelligence, intelligent properties, to see something come into that kind of a structure. It's really cool. Hallelujah. And in this house, he's got a special, special, special people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's time that we were added to. It's time you knew that your voice was a voice that can be heard. That your revelation is a revelation that we need to bring together. Hallelujah. And watch and see what God will do. Because there's many parts of the body of Christ that needs life given to them. Not just in your head. Glory to God. The next one, honey. So death won't have no more dominion over you. Wherever you've received it, death won't reign there anymore. But I guarantee you, you'll know what death looks like. You'll know how it feels. You'll know what it tastes like. You'll know what it smells like. And you'll react either with gratefulness or you'll act with gracefulness. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Gratefulness is, I thank God I have it, and I hope I don't get it again.
Amen.
Gracefulness is, I walk in the healing properties in which He has given me, knowing that His grace has now enabled me to walk out and walk into a new dimension. Come on, beloved. Hallelujah. And nobody can do that for you but you. But if you believe it, first part of it is getting to know it. If you're getting to know it, glory to God, then begin to embrace it to the point where you own it. And as you own it, glory to God, now you can distribute it, because now your revelation has come to a point of living matter. And now because of it, there will be some living matter in which you can express it.
Amen.
To maybe one who has no idea of even how to reach it to begin with. And that's what our God does. He loves the very, very smallest part of us. I spent some time with my granddaughter, just a single one. The two of them for a while, but then just a single one, special time. I needed that. She needed that. There are times when we'll all be collected together and the Holy Spirit will be all around us. And then there's times when God just wants you to, He just wants to spend some time with you. And you know when that is, that special time, is when there's a teaching that's going in to you that will never leave you ever for eternity. You'll never forget that touch of God that has been able to make the change or the switch in which now you're no longer like you ever were before. And we all need it, beloved. You need it. I need it. Glory to God. We need to be closer to the Lord. We need that Father's relationship with the Son. Glory to God. So that His Spirit will run through us. And now, you know what that does? That means that property is now an intelligent factor in your life. And you know how to approach it in that direction for sure. But you'll also recognize it in many others. And if you're careful and you realize it came from God, those properties can be added onto you because of that knowledge. You know, I used to have to, I've done lots of crazy stuff in purchasing and stuff like that with contracts. But you know what? In a contract, if I look at a contract, I know right where to look to find the small print. Instead of reading everything over, that's not going to catch you. What's going to catch you is a small print. It's the sneaky little devils that they don't want you to see. And so once you learn some of these things, what happens is you begin to walk with some ease. You begin to, you know why? You had to know, you had to be taught that. You didn't just know that. It wasn't brought out in the open so that you could see it and know it. But if you wanted to be responsible and if you wanted to do things right, you learn to take and say, hey, this here will have to be erased. And as soon as we start erasing the tricky things out of our life, whew, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you what. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Computer, I love computers. They shut off when they want to. They turn on when they want. They go every place they want. Give me another one, honey. Oh, wait a minute. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. So if we're going to die to sin, and I know that that's what we're doing, then how do we live unto God? How do you know you're living unto God? Hallelujah. Let's have one more, and then I want to take you for a little run. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through now who?
Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, now this isn't just Christ, is it? What do you think he said? Well, how come you think he does that? How come you think he puts the nouns where they belong? You see, as soon as we stop trying to have somebody tell us what the hidden places are, and we begin to look at what the structures are, we'll begin to know the structure of the building. It won't be hidden on us. Now, what Jesus did as a man was he purchased us back as men and women unto God, as a rightful heir to the kingdom. You are a rightful heir to the kingdom through a process of inheritance. But in order to do this, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Meaning now that we have these redemptive properties of salvation now always before us, knowing that they will always work for our good. So that it takes His anointing to bring us alive. It takes His indwelling Spirit to bring us alive spiritually and physically and every other way. But that there are still some things that are in process or processing for us our redemption. Because I'll tell you what, you can't redeem yourself. Neither can I. Nobody can. And one of the things that Christians really stumble over is when they fall into sin or they, you know, they've asked the Lord to forgive them and He's forgiven them everything and they believe it, and then a sin pops up of sorts. What do you do then? What if you, what if God was speaking to you that you shouldn't use that language you used in the Navy for all them years, every other word? An intelligent kid like you changed your language. Why? Because everybody else talked like that. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely correct. What happens if you get something really push your button and one of those crazy words came out? Huh? That ever happened? See, I don't ever think that happened to you, Nancy, because I don't think that you had the same vocabulary as he did, because I know him really well, or the vocabulary that I might have had. But but you never know, you know, I don't know. You know, I was surprised when I had to deal with a lot of office people, and they had some pretty nasty mouths, and they were pretty bad too. I didn't even know it. You know, they were just more sneaky about it. Well, what happens when all that happens? Well, the first thing that happens to us as a person is, and the first thing that comes to our mind is, thought you said you were saved. Thought you said you were saved. So what do you say? I am. Devil, you get on out of here, because that's who did that. Spirit, you get on out of here that did that. And we start to put on Jesus, our Redeemer, and Christ, His anointed one, that can speak into our very being at that very particular time. Not only will He forgive us, but He will enable us now by His Spirit, which is really, if you want to know another name for grace, it's Spirit. It's His Holy Spirit. It's not, Holy Spirit isn't something else. It's what it is. And it begins to instruct you and begins to strengthen you and begins to build you up. And the next thing you know, you're back kind of like in the thing. And I'll tell you what, when we first start out, we're hit all the time with everything under the sun because we don't know very much. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So it's not a hard thing to be living in Christ. It's not a hard thing to have Jesus Christ now living inside of us. Jesus the Redeemer. Nobody comes unto the Father except through Him. But now He has given His indwelling Spirit within us. So now we're just, you know, say, man, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and I'm telling you what, some things don't come out easy. You know, I still have I have a good temper in me. You know, I'm a strong man. Ask my wife. Ask anybody around me. I'm tempered. And I'll tell you what, sometimes that temper isn't tempered by God. And when that isn't tempered by God, you can have everybody under the sun who may not be tempered. May run and hide under a rock or whatever. And hope the rock saves them. And it will. His rock is Jesus. I'm not going to put anything on anybody. I just want to tell you that we're all different. We all have different things that we're overcoming. But we're also putting on righteousness. We are putting on Christ all the time. And I want to encourage you to tomorrow not to feel bad because you made a mistake maybe today or maybe even in the morning, but that you have a Redeemer. You are forgiven. As soon as you ask Him, He's going to forgive you. He's not going to hold it against you whatsoever. And He's going to give you instruction. And our problem has been sometimes we don't think we need instruction. But if I tell you something and you do something else, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what you are? You're on a different page. You don't want instruction. You ever had that happen? I talked to the teacher because I know the challenge. Hallelujah. But we're up for it. If it bothers us a little bit, what do you think it does with the Lord? But it don't really bother Him. Because you know what? When you know the answer, right? Everything you know isn't going to bother you that much. It's what you don't know that bothers you. What you know and works and you've had it worked out, it don't bother you. Sometimes it bothers you if it's working someplace else and not in your arena of knowledge, and it's actually moved out and now it's here and you actually have to move over here now. Oh, that's different. That makes it different. Because now what do we have to do? It's been moved. We have to move with it. He's moving. He wants us to move with it. He wants us to receive every portion of God that we possibly can. Glory to God. Let's go to I want to go to Romans 8, but let's go to Ephesians. Hallelujah. 2. And I'm going to just I've got 10 minutes. I want you to be encouraged today and just be built up in Christ. Ephesians 2. And I want to just show you a couple of things that are kind of cool. Glory to God. That I found out to be cool in my life. And I'm praying that it will be for you. How many go out and have something to eat at least once a week? Everybody? How many like doing that? Going out and getting a coffee or donut or, you know, pizza or sub or, you know, whatever.
How many just get outside and get out amongst people? How many do that? You need to. If you don't, you need to. And enjoy them. Sometimes we become offended because they're not like us. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, you know, they're dirty or they're clean. You know. Or they ride horses or they ride bikes. Hogs. Or they drive trucks or they drive cars. Or they drive, you know, whatever. BMWs and Austin Healey's and whatever. Well, that's what I mean. See, what we're going is, they're all people. And the thing of it is, we all want to be accepted and loved, but we want to pick who we love. And we're so stereotyped in things that we miss out on wonderful, wonderful people. We was in Wendy's and Karen saw this young man. He's a retarded boy. I mean, he's a man. And somehow she's been able to give him a worth of life by befriending them. Don't feel sorry for him. I don't think he's not happy. I think he is. This is what I mean. I mean, let's let God take us out of our stereotype little corrals of things and begin to open us up into an arena of humanity that he died for. And let's let him do the miraculous. Let's just be an instrument in which we can be used to pick somebody up for the day. Be more conscious. Don't be so conscious about yourself. And be more conscious about other ones. And you, listen to this, who is quickened. Now remember what we said he did? That this resurrected life is going to quicken us. Who he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and that's what he's talking about. That's the death he's talking about. He's talking about sin, the sin that will give us to where we don't even think we're worth living anymore. We don't even want to live anymore. You know, people don't just die. They give up. For whatever reason, and that's not a negative thought. That's God's put that in your choice, believe it or not. Next one. Wherein, in times past, ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, which we all have been, and sometimes still are. Come on. But not all of it. Glory to God. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, how many would feel guilty if they went out and they were laying on the beach? It is nice. It's really nice. White sand is nothing like it. It can be 100 outside and you're still cool. It's not even burning your feet. It's unbelievable. He's not talking about that kind of stuff. He's not talking about you having fun. He's not talking about you not enjoying the things around you. It's just how you enjoy them. Will you be persuaded by the world, or will you
take ownership of it and be Christ-like on the beach. You know what that means? That means the girls don't walk around with string bikinis. I'll never forget it. One time I was up on the beach and I couldn't even see nothing. String bikinis. Or men with the whatever, thongs or whatever they wear. Now look, I'm just telling you. See, that's really not being Christ-like. That's what the world likes. Show what I got here. No. And I don't mean you have to be the other way either. Are you getting this? But that's what the world has to offer you. Junk. And I'll tell you what. It is appealing. Fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, but we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. Okay, next one, please. But God, who is rich in his mercy and his grace, great love wherewith he loved us. He's rich in his mercy. You know what that means? He never runs out of it. You know what mercy means? Even though I'm guilty, if I ask forgiveness, I'm not. Amen. That's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, that is a hard one. Especially when you're guilty. Well, don't say you're not guilty. When you're guilty, ask forgiveness and receive the forgiveness, and he's rich in mercy, and his mercy will actually bring his grace involved so that you can learn how not to do that anymore. Pretty cool. That's why sometimes when you know something and you know the results of something and you become so dogmatic about it that you become a thorn in somebody's flesh, you need to stop that. And say, Lord, help them. Pray for them. Help me so I can be a help to them. Change my heart, Lord. Hey, we all got our little phobias, I'll tell you that. All of us do. Mine is dirt. You can ask anybody. He gives me the crawlies. It's like I got something on me I shouldn't have on me. But let's look at the next one, please. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with who now? With Christ, by grace, are you saved? Now the Spirit gives us the enablement to be saved. He doesn't do that. And you see how that's kind of like in parentheses? I just put there. But I agree with it. I don't disagree with it. Because it works together. But sometimes it can be confusing. But don't let it be. It's the Christ that gives you the grace, that enables us, gives us the thought, gives us the reason, gives us the method or product or whatever. Next one. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. I want you to know that you're seated with him right now. Now, in every area, no. Could you be? Yes. When will you be? As you yield yourself to him in that area. It's not that he's not there. It's that you haven't yet let him in that aspect. And just because you haven't don't mean he's not there. And I'll tell you what. This is why he said patience. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Let me run through a few more scriptures. Hallelujah. I just do this. My goodness, I have so much in me. You got to pray for me because I kind of get caught up in this word, and I'm in a different dimension of thinking and everything, and that's what he puts me in. And then when I get out, I'm still there. It's still running. Do you ever know how that goes on, Danny? And so then everybody, where you at? Well, I'm here, but, you know, it's so intriguing to me that he would open it up to me, but then that he would let me begin to walk it out by experience in people that may not even know him yet. To help, you see, until you can reach through your fears and you walk through these things. Hallelujah. You know, I was praying for that boy. Were you praying for that boy when they were going to apprehend him? Do you know what they did to him in Evo? Do you know what kind of explosives they used for that? It's so traumatic that you don't have any sense of motion, hearing, or feeling. Puts you in a state of shock. And just pray for him. Oh, I don't know why. Listen, I know it was a horrific thing he did and whatever. Pray for that boy too. Because let me tell you something. They're not going to be kind to him. No matter what they say. There is a pattern going on in this age to get everybody fearful. And it's not that boy's fault. There's a spirit out here that wants to bring America into a third world mentality. And you're not a third world. You're a Christ-given centered country. Stand up for it. Even if it costs you your life, stand up for it in your own life. Stand up for it in your own family. Stand up for it. Hallelujah. Because this is the answer for the world. Prosperity at every side, on everything. You cannot stop the prosperity of God as you live a godly life. It comes all around you. You cannot stop it. Period. Because that's what God does. He's life and giving. He's giving. He's in life. You can expect prosperity. You can count on prosperity. Hallelujah. And don't determine how you're going to get it. Just keep doing the rightful things and you'll see it happen. Let's go to Philippians and I'll have to quit. Philippians 3. I'll just give you two. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Philippians 3. Go down to 8, honey, please. Hallelujah. Are we excited today? Are you happy today?
Yeah.
Are you going to change today?
Yeah.
You're going to be different than you were yesterday.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That'll hurry me up. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Now you see what he did there? Listen to it again. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Now you're learning how to know Jesus by the anointing. My Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Jesus. Christ. There's a difference. You see, the Christ is the Spirit that's eternal, hallelujah, that lives within you, that can. You can't put another man inside of me. You can't put another man inside of you. Only by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so you see the proportion there? The next one, please. Hallelujah. Oh, it's really good. It's preaching all the way. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And I'm going to, I wasn't going to, but I'm going to deal with that righteousness of God. I'm going to do that next week. But I want you to see something that you have here. How many think that he was talking, what kind of a law do you think he was talking about here? Because a lot of them get mixed up. And they think it was the law of Moses. Or that even they've even went as far as to say that the Ten Commandments are of the law. Because of Jesus before he died. I'm just going to tell you what some of the thoughts are in some of the theological circles of understanding. But he's not talking about thou shalt not kill. He's not talking about thou shalt not steal. He's not talking about thou shalt not bear false witness. He's not talking about none of that law. He's talking about the law of sin and death. The very thing that's killing you. The very thing that's killing me. The rebellion of whatever might be in me that I don't even know that's against the will of God. Or the righteousness of God. But he hasn't left us there with just that knowledge. And I will endeavor to open up this righteousness to you in a greater measure. But if you will look at one more, honey, please. Glory to God. Two more. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. See what he did there? Because they still have this, they still want this flesh to live like it is. Not incorruptible. They want God. They don't want to have to put on incorruption. In fact is, they don't even think they can. But you can. It's not hard. Every part of the Lord Jesus that you know and understand is incorruptible to you. And when corruption tries to, when corruption tries to mingle in with it, because you know, you say no. That's not how it goes. How many mothers had to correct their kids because they didn't understand what they were saying? That's not what I meant. I thought I'd get away with them. Yeah. I know all about that, man. Don't we, honey? But Gail said, that's not what I meant. And let me tell you, it didn't take long till it got the right meaning. Well, did she hurt him? No. It was just important that this other's not acceptable. That's all. Ooh, hurts a little, huh? But it's the truth. So, listen to this. And the power of his resurrection, that means we now can live where we've tried to get away from that. We don't want that anymore now that we really know what the problem is. That it's going to hurt me. Because Mama never did anything really to hurt the kids. But they had to know how, when she wasn't there, to do things so that they wouldn't get hurt. Right, mamas? That's what he's doing with us. That's what he's talking about here. We're putting on his resurrection. We're taking, and now the law now is becoming written in our heart where we no longer struggle with it or wrestle with it anymore. But it's actually becoming our nature. I'm just not going to lie to you. I'm just not going to steal from you. Come on. And as these properties become a part of us, where we don't have to, it's not a law to me, it's just, I'm not going to do it. It's my life. What happens there? We're living in a resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Things are happening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Next one. And I'm letting you go. If by any means I might, look at this, attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced that I have an audience with God. Are you convinced? I pray you are. I know you are. Even though you may not think so sometimes. I know you are. If for some reason my breath was sucked out of me, you couldn't shut me up. I'd still live on. They thought they could shut Jesus up. He had 12. Eventually, they killed all 12, but they couldn't shut him up. And they were able to set in order. Do you know, up until Moses, and I got to quit. Jeez, I got to quit. Up until Moses, everyone read the stars to know the program of God. God's handiwork was the writing, was the placement of the stars in our solar system that we could see with the naked eye. Not all of them, but that he wanted to write his plan. The man will step on everything else. This man I created will be victorious. And they did believe that their God was stronger than death itself. It's time people begin to understand what the Christian faith is all about. And this one thing I will tell you. When Moses came on the scene, God gave him in writing now. Jesus, I love this so much. Don't tell me humanity isn't growing more intelligent all the time. They are. Don't tell me that he's going to send them all to hell, because he's not. But he has a place prepared with him seated in the heavens. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be there. Hallelujah. And I don't, you know, I'm just like you. I say, who me, Lord? That lots of times, but I'm learning that I just got to shut that up and believe that he's doing what he's going to do, and he's saying what he's going to say, and I'm walking as a son of God. And I want you to walk like that. Sons grow up. Sons get more mature. We have to start, hallelujah. But we have to know that we're sons. We have to know that we have a destiny, and that's to be Godlike. Hallelujah. Knowing that we will never be God, but we are going to be like our daddy. Absolutely. And as you do that, when you're walking around God's creation, you need to realize that sometimes he wants you to pray. He wants his hands, his feet, his anointing to come out of you into others who don't yet understand or know. As you do this, you'll find that less and less will be less and less of you, and it'll be more and more God inside of you all the time. Because the more you're willing to, the greater the outreach. And not only that, the greater the blessing.